Welcome, and welcome back to Further Research Needed.
Woohoo!
My name is Hannes Feirer, and I'm joined by my two co-hosts,
Jan-Philipp Weising
and Christopher Wood.
It's been a while. We had a bit of a break, and now we're back. And before we get in and start with the episodes again, we thought we'd give you a bit of a trailer to the new season, if you will, which we don't really call it, but you can if you want. And we thought we'd talk a bit about the podcast and about us and about the way we think about communicating science, and especially, of course, in the concept of this podcast. Before we start, of course, I'm going to say cheers, guys.
Cheers.
Clink.
Oh, God, I'm late. Wait for me. Yes.
Yes. That's the part that should go faster usually. But here we are. Well, this podcast started with Chris and me, actually. Back then it was more, I want to say, my thing, because I thought about starting a podcast, but Chris was definitely catalyst. Like, without Chris, I would have not done it.
I was all in when you suggested it to me.
You were kind of like just the guest, but I think you were on every episode but one, probably.
True. Yeah.
And it took a while until you jumped in all the way. And of course, also, I've always had contact with Philip from the start. We've been talking about these things, and it took a while until you came on. I think only fourth episode, maybe, or something like that. Mm-hmm. But we have been recording and not publishing something else, actually. And the entire reason why I started this was Chris, but also friend of Chris's, who was on the podcast, Derek. And he kind of was, I want to say, he was there for me when I had my PhD crisis. And he kind of, we talked about a lot of other things over our coffee breaks. And one of these things was my interest in science communication. So eventually I started a blog. Derek left the lab and Chris was there. And like, we kept having coffee breaks. And eventually we decided that we want to record one of these things.
Am I your rebound PhD?
Oh no,
agony aunt! Oh my god!
Not even the first episode of the season already a crisis.
Oh no! What a way to find out. Gosh.
Well, sorry. Anyway, so what is your perspective on how we came to the first recording, which was very cringy? It's still online, you can always go back, but it's definitely a bit of...
It was super cringy. Well, we started with the idea of coffee break science, where we would grab a coffee at the KI and we would chat. Well, basically what we talk about on the podcast, but we talk about science, but we talk about things that weren't our PhDs, and we would get angry, we would be sad, we would be like, this is the coolest thing, you know. How great are eukaryotes? That didn't happen. But in general, we just chat about science, and we thought that there's not enough of this kind of conversation where you can talk about science informally. You don't.
So that's a drawback of the online world, right?
So for everybody listening, Chris just cut out hard mid-sentence.
Is he back? He's back.
Oh no.
Aww. Oh. Just keep going, Chris. Keep going. Just start over. Well, we've been talking about these things in, from, I want to say, a different aspect than it happens usually in either popular science or the professional scientific system. Because how communication happens between professional scientists is, of course, they are research articles, which are insanely boring and dry and super technical. Like, there's no way to communicate back and forth. Everyone just puts out their things and that's kind of it. And then we have a bunch of other platforms how people communicate, but I was lacking some excitement and maybe some edge to it. And a lot of informality, I want to say. It's super formal and super dry most of the time. And that's something I found a bit boring, because I find science exciting and often fun. And it's still a lot of, like, both fun and exciting. Also, if it's informal and maybe even a bit funny. Philip, what are your thoughts?
Well, I remember I was definitely in the guest territory when I first came on, and we did probably the cringiest of all episodes, the first one we recorded together. So I'm very happy that never saw the light of day. But I think I always wanted to just have fun with it. And I do agree with kind of your notion of going science is cool and there should be like a forum to just talk about it freely and not be so stuck up about it. So that was always my angle. And I feel like between the three of us, the kind of topics we provide, there's like a different, you usually come from a different angle. And I feel like mine are the least scientific at most kind of like weird out there kind of topics that are like adjacent to science-ish, but not like super hardcore science usually.
A lot of sci-fi, a lot of guessing games came from you.
Yeah, exactly.
All these things, yeah. I think eventually after like 10 episodes, we decided to do this together. Before it was kind of my podcast. I did all the editing, hosting, uploading, all of these things. Then we decided to run it together. We rebranded as Further Research Needed, which is still going on. And since then, we share the workload, I want to say. And we try to do it a bit more professionally. Just planning the episodes better, doing a bit more research, doing a bit more editing maybe, and to also try to make the appearance a bit more professional. The audience can now judge if this worked or not.
With the emphasis on bit.
Yeah, exactly. And this has been going on for another 20 episodes now. In the last, I want to say, half year, we noticed a drop of energy in all of us. While it wasn't that we didn't have the time for it, we have been less excited about planning episodes and also about the recordings. And we've found that we talk about the things between ourselves less than we did before. Of course, it's difficult because Philip and I live in Stockholm. Chris lives in Basel, which is roughly 1,800 kilometers away. So already this is just, we don't have as much exposure anymore as we did before. But also then we would have just had coffee breaks via Zoom or Skype. And to get back into this more excited atmosphere from ourselves, we decided to take it down a notch again to make shorter episodes, which some of you have requested. You found them too long, especially things like, I think one of them was the decade wrap up or something that was like a 1.5 hours. We're not going to do these things anymore in the near future. Who knows what the future holds in the end. And we wanted to have more fun again on the podcast, bring topics, discuss them lighter with less preparation, more, how do you say in English, with what comes to mind. That's a good word. Yeah, that sounds fancy. And enjoy it again. And not that we haven't enjoyed it before, we definitely did, at least I did still a lot. But we want to make it a bit more free again and select topics that excite us. And so we hope they also excite you very naturally. Because I hope, we think the audience of the listeners, at least the people we know, are often people like us. They're somewhere in early career science, PhD students, master students, postdocs, kind of in the same situation. And a lot of people who aren't actively in science anymore, maybe did study science, but not pursue the academic track, and are generally interested in science. And from here, I want to segue. I'm just dominating the conversation. I'm not going to ask you anything anymore. From here, I'm going to segue into how we think about communicating science to scientists or to non-scientists, and how we have been discussing about this. Because that's obviously an ongoing point between us, an ongoing discussion, how we talk and how we talk to the audience or to ourselves, to each other. What, Chris, do you want to give your perspective on how this is done or how this works?
Talking about science, the language you use about science, I think the science has a problem in that there's a lot of technical jargon. And it's a problem when scientists try and speak to non-scientists, but it's even a problem when you try and speak between scientists of different disciplines. And it's my belief that this is usually a language barrier. It's not a understanding. If you can describe what's happening in the correct terminology to someone, they will get the concepts. And if they can't get the concepts, you yourself don't understand the topic well enough to be talking about it. So I think, or I hope to, with this podcast, we can talk to a wide range of people by describing quite advanced topics and breaking them down and looking at the fundamentals, but then also looking at the general overview in a way that interests everyone and is exciting and interesting to listen to.
I do agree, absolutely. I think in the end, it's never a matter of intellect, but it's a matter of, are you good enough of a communicator if you want to bring a topic across? The thing I find difficult, though, is the interest in a certain topic. While basic science may be interesting for the populace, which hasn't heard of it, it might be very uninteresting for a scientist. For example, we wouldn't have to talk about how neurons transport their signals and explain it to Philip or people like him because they know. So I think there's a different level of detail that you have to talk about. And I think definitely you can explain science to other scientists because we only still learn about specific things, especially about new findings. And this we'll do much more in the future. Talk about our science, about newer science, and explain it to each other. I said newer science, not neuroscience, just to make that clear. And the other quarrel I have is that, or things that the thing that has been difficult for me to comprehend and to conceptualize is how it is different, or how maybe some topics might only be important or interesting to scientists and not to non-scientists. For example, all of these things with the publication system, the peer review system, for example, this might be interesting for people who are not actively in science if you explain to them that there is a problem, but it's not their everyday life. But of course, for a scientist, these things are what affect us every day. So maybe we have more of a horse in the game, in the race. Philip, what are you thinking? You seem like you want to say something.
Yeah, I mean, I think there was way more of focus when we started because our frustration with academia was also bigger, I would say, or like more raw, so to speak, all of those kind of quarrels I kind of wrapped my head around. So it doesn't feel like there's much raw emotion left in that sense.
Interesting. That's not the same for me. But
I think, though, it's important that everyone sees how science is made and sees the problems, because otherwise you take it as fact and you don't understand that it's a completely flawed system with quite an interesting self-editing process that tries to keep it on the straight and narrow. And it vaguely works, but there are still flaws and it could be improved, and we should all try and aim to improve it. But
so yeah, on the same kind of like general thought, maybe, is that we're going to trust you as the listener a lot more than I think general popular science podcasts would. We trust you in the sense of that we are explaining the actual issues to you that are happening in science without saying at the same time that science is bullshit and you shouldn't listen to it. Obviously you should. Science is the best way we have, but you should also be aware of the downfalls. And if you're a scientist yourself, you are already aware in most cases, maybe not the depth of the pit, but at least of the general effect. And I think that's also true for our, more hard science episodes, that we're just putting a lot of trust in you that you're going to be able to follow. And obviously we're trying to break it down, like Chris said, but not to a level where scientists would listen to it and would find it boring. Like with a lot of popular science podcasts I listen to, sure, they're talking about interesting stuff, but they're kind of stopping at the point where it gets interesting for me, because the general concepts you already have heard. Like, I don't think you could woo me with like a DNA episode where it's like, oh wow, it's this thing and there's four bases and they kind of like get together, like, yeah okay, I'm aware of that fact. Like, and there's so much cutting edge cooler stuff behind that where it gets really, really interesting for me.
I think that sums it up quite well, Philip. Thank you. And this is where I think we conclude the episode for today. It was a short one with just a bit of a long trailer in the end. And the next episode is going to drop very, very soon. We're going to record it actually right now on a very similar topic. So stay excited.